You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You may know him as the Wonder Dog.
He is a true horse.
But to us, he's just good old Uncle Hud. It's time for Royals broadcaster and friend of the show, Rex Hudler, to join the drive.
Coming up momentarily, we will invite one of my favorite people in the world onto the show. I'm not sure how much longer he can be one of my favorite people after saying this a couple of nights ago on Bally Sports.
When the team's on the road like the Royals are right now, and
yeah,
on the West Coast, and it's 10:45 in Kansas City, and we're broadcasting from pitch black.
It's dark.
I would take a Minsky's pizza, wouldn't you?
I would, buddy. It would be delicious. Let's get one. I like their pineapple special with some tomatoes and avocados on it.
What?
Yeah, that was on my...
Pineapple, tomatoes, and avocado?
Delicious. I've been eating it for 3 days. The boys, yeah, the boys had it, and they had a lot left, and they didn't eat that cup. That was Jennifer's side of the pizza, and it's delicious, man.
Is that really a thing?
Yes. I don't know what they call it, but that's what's on it.
So that was Rex Hudler a couple of nights ago on television. We invite Hud onto the show today. Hud, you know I love you with all my heart, but that's one of the worst pizzas I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, C-Dot, it's great to be with you, buddy. Hey, you know, I had to do some further research because when I came home, it was a Minsky's box. It was just one of the biggest boxes I've ever seen of pizza. Half of pepperoni and sausage, and the other half was this pizza that I've never seen before, and there was avocados on all spread out on it. And I just took to it, and man, was it delicious. Now, I forgot the main ingredient of the pizza was chicken. There was chicken in it. See, that changes. That's a whole different game changer. Chicken, that the great cheese that they had on there, they had a tomato on it. There were pineapple in it, and the avocados were on top, and they were fresh, and it was wonderful. And so then I put the rest of what was left back in the refrigerator, and I ate it the next day, and it still was good. And I'm like, wow, this is great. Okay, then I get to the ballpark, realized that when we talked about it on the air, that it became a deal on Twitter, and I was like, well, wow, what happened? Jennifer's out of the country. I had to call her because Jeff Montgomery called Minsky's and wanted to see or looked up their menu, and they had no menu with pineapple and avocado on it. And so I had to call Jennifer and say, Jennifer, honey, did you put the avocado on the pizza or did it come with the pizza? And she says she put the avocado on the pizza. So that kind of clears Minsky's, but it doesn't clear the fact that that's the most delicious pizza as a 60-year-old man can eat. It was some onions in there, too, so it had a tremendous flavor of everything, C-Dot. And if you don't want to be my friend because of that, then by golly, I guess I'll just have to put my head down.
Hud, I will say this. I am happy that you are team put pineapple on pizza. A lot of people are 50-50 on it, but I love a good chicken and pineapple pizza.
Yeah. Now, look, in my opinion, you can put avocado on anything. It's one of the greatest. I don't know if it's considered a fruit or a vegetable. I don't care. I was raised in California where they grow them. It was fantastic. I know how to pick them out. It sprouts. It's part of my routine. It's part of my diet. They have nice, big, thick ones. You got to get them a little bit firm, but not too firm, because it'll take them a couple days to get ripe all the way. But, man, that's the greatest natural fat that you can give yourself, believe it.
Right now, we're talking to Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Hud, right now, I want to use this time to get you an endorsement. Is there a local pizza place out there that you want to do their commercials for? Maybe it's Minsky's, maybe it's somewhere else, but you're thinking to yourself, I love this pizza. I want to give them a shout out, and me and you can work together this summer to get you some free pizza from this place.
Hey, bud, look, now, if it's free, it's for me, I'll take three. That was my motto as a big league ball player because they were always wanting to give you stuff, companies were. And when I would come home from a 10-day road trip, my locker would be full of tennis shoes, shirts, saws, chainsaws, all kinds of wild things over my, depending on where you played. In Montreal, they filled it with all every kind of stuff. So now I'm not necessarily looking for a free pizza, but yeah. I'm going to stick with Minsky's because they're a supporter of the Royals, and we'd read their commercials on the air. But if they can just add some avocado, that's going to put them over the top. It'd be incredible. And I found out Jennifer put her own on. She put the – it's just the best. And, C-Doc, anything you want to do is fine with me because I'm one of your biggest fans.
Hud, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at your major league debut. You got into a major league game for the first time in September 9th of 1984. We saw Jackson Kowar make his major league debut. Tell us the story about your major league debut at Fenway Park.
Wow. See, Don, I'm getting goosebumps, man. That was an incredible time. I'm maybe getting a little emotional. It was so fun. And after working so hard and so long in the minors, when I pinch ran for Willie Randolph in Fenway Park, and being a Yankee, the Fenway Park, you know, it was packed full of fans. And I remember the colors. The colors were unbelievable. As I got on the field, I took my lead. And I looked out there, and the green monster was so big and so real. The fans all wearing red, and it was just amazing. I was like in a dream, and I remember it as clear as day as it was yesterday. Just the fact that I was on a big league diamond, and it was great. Now, I didn't have to hit or I didn't have to pitch. I just ran, so it made it easy for me. But I sucked up every moment, and I shared that story with our great Denny Matthews. And Denny said, Hud, I'm not surprised, because when your biorhythms, your energy, your enthusiasm, your adrenaline, when it's up to – everything blings when you're in a position like that. When your energy is like that, everything blings. The colors all seem to really stand out, and that's exactly what happened. Now I couldn't imagine. Well, I did hit my first time up. I faced Roy Lee Jackson in Toronto, and he struck me out on three pitches. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And I walked back to that Yankee dugout, and all those veterans were laughing at me, and so. That was the beginning of my successful failure career.
I'm sitting here looking at it, Hud, I went to when you actually got your first at-bat, so it was a couple nights later. It was September 11th, 1984, in Toronto is when you got your AB. You came in for Willie Randolph and played second base. You guys had a special team. Don Mattingly, Dave Winfield, Ken Griffey Sr. was on that team. You had a pretty special Yankees group you played with.
Oh, it was great. And I know Kansas City and the Yankees. I know all about their history, so I understand the angst for the Yankees here in this part of the country. But just keep in mind, I didn't choose the Yankees. They chose me. So, you know, my when I came home from the draft that day, I remember it was a typical day after school in June, and I said, Mom, did anybody call? And she goes, the damn Yankees drafted you. And she said it like she was not happy. And I'm thinking, Mom, what did you tell them? I told them they wasted their pick. And I said, you told the Yankees that? She says, yes, sir. You're going to Notre Dame. So she was not the least thrilled in the Yankees. But when I finally got to New York and got to wear the pinstripes, which was a huge honor to be able to be on that team and to go in that old Yankee Stadium locker room and sit there where all those great historic Yankees were, it was an awe-inspiring deal. And I can tell you that they didn't have any rookies. Me and Don Mattingly, maybe Scott Bradley, were the only rookies they had because Steinbrenner would buy all his players. So the veterans weren't used to seeing young kids, and it was great. They all embraced me. They put their arms around me. They encouraged me. Willie Randolph let me take ground balls with him. And typically, you if you're a second, third string, you take them later. He would let me get right in there with him. Dave Winfield let me. He said, "Kid, will you fly with me on the airplane?" I was awesome. I was starstruck. I was like a fan, a 24-year-old kid on the New York Yankees. And Ricky Henderson was on the team. Ron Guidry. It was Phil Niekro, Hall of Famers after Hall of Famers were on that team. C-Dot. It was a wonderful beginning for me. And those guys, they didn't give me rookie hazing. They didn't even have rookie hazing with the Yankees because there was never any rookies on the team. So it was just a complete win-win for me. And obviously the Yankees made a huge mistake by drafting me ahead of Cal Ripken Jr. But look, they've long gotten over that. But I did see Mr. Steinbrenner before he died, and I was broadcasting on the level where his suite is. And I went there when I was with the Angels. I went up to see him, and I said, "Mr. Steinbrenner, hey, Rex Hubbard, would you sign my ball?" He goes, "Rex," he goes, "you were my number one pick in 1978. He remembered me, and he said, "You had a great career." And I looked at him and said, "Mr. Steinbrenner, that can be debated by many, but I want to say thank you for giving me my start." And he signed my baseball, once a Yankee, always a Yankee, to my number one pick, Rex. Good luck. And so that was it. 7 years with the New York Yankees, and they moved me on to the Orioles, and I went to Expos, the Cardinals, the Angels, the Phillies, in Japan. And 21 years later, at 38 years old, Uncle, I was ready to go home. And I walked out from a game that tells you when to go home. I walked away sphincter-free and thanking God for giving me an opportunity to do something I loved and to walk away from it with a full pension in Major League Baseball. Call the cops.
Right now, we're talking to Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Biggest thing from the game yesterday is actually the opposition and Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if you can hit a baseball farther than he hit it yesterday, 470 feet.
Only in batting practice have I ever seen that hit up there, but I can tell you, and I played 3 years there, and I watched batting practices all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, in three countries. But look, he is a phenom. We will never see another player like him. I mean, we could see a two-way player, but nobody that throws 100 and hits 100. You know, so here's the deal. Brad Keller needs to become bad Brad Keller, and he needs to be stellar. He needs to get through the first inning. For two games in a row now, they have beat us with their first three hitters of the game. That can't happen. Keller has got to step up and use his stuff and get out there and stand up and not let this thing go any further. This is such a streaky team, C-Dot. I'm not so sure, man. I can't see how it can happen this way. They've got a lot of good, talented players, but by golly, you got to stand up and execute pitches. You can't throw cookies in the middle of the plate. You can't float balls in there. Man, are you kidding? This is a big league. So our young guys are taking their bumps, and they're going to, as they try to become big leaguers. And you take, it's how you ingest the humble pie that will determine how long you can stay in the game. Believe me, it is a game of failure.
No, absolutely. And that's why with Jackson Kolar and with earlier in the season with Daniel Lynch, I don't want to overreact to a couple of opportunities, because I think we've seen, like, you played in a very traditional minor league setting. Now that's not what it is right now to play from AA and get moved up to AAA. So I do think the adjustment period for players to make that transition from being in Omaha to Kansas City might be the hardest that it's ever been.
You know, it's very possible, because the minor leagues are watered down. Not watered down. They've been eliminated. They've eliminated a lot of the players and a lot of the talent. So the talent's much better than it ever has been. When you eliminate teams. But C-Dot, regardless, if you're going to get to the highest level, you have to win and beat people where you are at that particular time. So for Kolar, I mean, he can't do anything else. The numbers that he had in AAA were fantastic. But there's just a learning curve. The learning curve takes time. Like Monty was saying in the pregame show, I love Jeff Montgomery, and I love Joel Goldberg, and they entertain us, and he educates me on pitching and different aspects of the game. And Monty says, you know, it's going to take time. I knew that, because I didn't expect it to have to be 10 years of minor league ball for me, but it takes time to figure out this game of timing, and that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to be patient, and then the Royals will have to be patient with them, but I do believe that they're going to be developing in the future a championship rotation, and that's what the game of baseball revolves around, starting pitching. If you don't have it, you better find it.
That is Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler joining us on the show today. Hud, always appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
C-Doc, thank you for bringing up some stuff that I got to share stories with in the past, man. What a beautiful game of baseball it is, and I can't wait tonight to watch Brad Keller become stellar once again.
Absolutely. That's Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Always good to catch up with Rex Hudler. Rob, can you tell me why, after hearing that story, there isn't a local restaurant or company right now that's working on creating the Rex Hudler pizza? You do a limited 2-week run of the HUD pizza. You give a portion of the proceeds to HUD's charity. You get HUD out there to shake some hands and kiss some babies and sign some baseballs. And for 2 weeks, you're selling the HUD pizza. We can't make this happen. We can't find somebody right now on the text line with the restaurant that wants to have the HUD pizza. Chicken, pineapple, and avocado. Now, no. I ain't eating the HUD pizza, but I just want to help concoct the HUD pizza so we can turn these into a positive. You're telling me we can't find a single company. Johnny Taverns, what are you up to? We need to make this happen. The HUD.
I mean, I wouldn't eat the HUD because he said there's onions on there too, right? There's onions, tomatoes, pineapple, chicken, a little avocado. That pizza's not for me. But you know what? I guarantee there's a person in town who would eat that pizza, and I guarantee there's a restaurant in town that could benefit. And you know what? Restaurants, I know you just had a really tough year. It was hard times out here. It was hard times for a lot of people. You want to get the people back into your restaurant, COVID-free, vaccinated, whatever the terminology you use, you introduce the HUD pizza, you get HUD out there, you get the people out there. People might not order the HUD pizza, but they'll come to your restaurant just to be a part of the spectacle. This seems like a layup for everyone involved.
You can't meet HUD if you don't order the HUD pizza. You got to get you a slice of that HUD pizza. You would definitely try the HUD pizza.
Oh, I'd definitely try it. I'd give it a slice. I might order by the slice.
you would get a slice of the HUD.
I don't think I'm going to get an extra large. I'd order by the slice. What, are you above the HUD pizza for a slice?
I don't know if I can do it.
One slice.
I'm only doing it out of my love for HUD. That's it.
So, I mean, one slice. I'm not saying eat a whole extra large. I'm not saying
chicken, pineapple, tomato, and avocado.
Onion too, my man. Onion.
We need to make this happen. Who do we need to talk to make this happen? Johnny Taverns Pizza Bar? Let's do this. Somebody on the text line says, Rob, with all of your interests and taste, they're surprised that you're not all over a pizza with avocado. You do like a lot of the same things that if we were playing like bingo, the avocado box, I'm really surprised you don't check. You love seltzers. You love Fireball. You love a nice IPA. You love the fall so you can wear you a nice flannel. Love Game of Thrones. Huge Friends guy. I mean, if we're going through like a checklist, you check a lot of those same things. I'm surprised you don't check the loves avocado slash guacamole box. That's one you should 100%.
I'm not a total cliche. I'm 90% of the way there to the cliche. First off, I don't like Friends. Let's not slander me. Some of that stuff was true. Friends, that's a slanderous lie. But avocado, just not for me. I like to get my fat in bad ways, not in good ways. I don't need good fat in my body. I need bad fat in this body. That's my whole life goal.
Okay, my bad. You got Nikolai Jokic build. That's what you want? You want a Nikolai Jokic build?
Did he just get, 90% of the votes for MVP?
He did just win MVP.
Champion.
I can't fault you.
Hero of the everyman.
I can't fault you for that. Speaking of restaurant, I'm one of the people that whenever I find something, I become really obsessive about it. So, for example, let's say that there's like a new song that's out, right? Like Rob plays for me a song and I'm like, I really like this song. I'll listen to that song nonstop for the next 3 days. I'll then learn all the words and then I'll be like, I'm tired of this song, and then I'll move on. So during quarantine, now I had seen the show before, but I'm randomly scrolling through YouTube TV and I land on Bar Rescue. And I'm telling you, right now I would say there's only three things that I watch. It's either the NBA playoffs, the Royals, and Bar Rescue. There ain't nothing else that I'm watching right now on television. On Sunday, Bar Rescue is celebrating their 200th episode.
So your brother doesn't respect your money, or he's an idiot?
I think he respects my money, and I don't think he's an idiot.
So is he lazy?
No, absolutely not.
So, really? So did you change this oil? Look at the color of these, Chef. Is that right? No. So, look at that oil. Can any of this be right with that oil? No. So all of it is freaking wrong.
That's disrespectful, man.
You did is disrespectful to your customers.
I'm trying to do what I can do.
You're going to get somebody sick.
I'm one guy in here trying to do what I can do.
So are you a
wimp? One guy in there trying to do what he's trying to do. John doesn't care. Oh, there's something about it when I see John really get riled up and I know that he's going to unload it, yell at somebody, that just really excites me. This is the thing. 913-576-7610. Now, in the same vein of the HUD pizza, I do, you know how you watch a TV show and then you think, oh, I could do that. I'm sure that you guys watch a TV show and then you see it and it seems really easy. And then you're thinking, oh, I could do that. Like some of you probably hear my job and think, oh, I could easily do that. Maybe you could. The same way, Rob, whenever I watch Bar Rescue, I think to myself, how hard could owning a restaurant be? Just from watching the show. So you think about it. I've been to a restaurant before. I've been to really successful restaurants. I've also seen really bad restaurants on Bar Rescue. All you got to do is not copy what they do. That's it. When you see on Bar Rescue, their restaurants are always bad for like one of three reasons. Lack of communication, lack of cleanliness, lack of structure. It's very rarely they say their business is failing because it's in a bad location. It's always lack of communication, lack of structure. They don't have systems in place, or the place is just dirty. It's always one of those three things. So if you could eliminate those three things, you could run a successful restaurant. But I'm assuming if we were playing Family Feud, and what's the thing that like seems really easy to do that's probably the hardest thing to do? I would imagine running a successful restaurant is actually really, really hard to do. Like Bar Rescue makes it seem kind of easy. Like all you got to do is just have general common sense and clean up. You could run a restaurant. I'm thinking it's a lot harder than that. I'm imagining it's much harder than that.
Here's the thing. Because I agree with you. Me and my friends have multiple times talked about buying a dive bar that has no food. Because food seems like the thing you get screwed on. Food isn't good. People leave. Being a drinks-only bar. And we think we go to bars. We drink. We watch Bar Rescue. We got this. No problem. No issues. No concerns. We'll nail it. Except for there's no doubt we'd fail. Just think about it this way. How many really successful NFL guys or baseball guys or whatever have lost money in this town alone on restaurants? It must be high-level difficulty. Jared Allen's thing, gone. Neil Smith's place, gone. George Brett's in the plaza, gone. Those guys are highly successful and probably have money managers who are better with their money than I am with my own. And they all fail. So the common sense theory makes sense, but something is amiss because everyone seems to go in this business and fail.
No, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think actually what you're saying is 100%. But I know I'm not the only one that watches a TV show and then you think to yourself, oh, this is easy. I could do this. Someone says, I watch Deadliest Catch and I think that crab fishing is easy. And then I realize that being on the couch is a lot more comfortable. That's exactly what I mean. I know I'm not the only one that watches one of these kind of shows and then thinks to ourselves, all I got to do is not do what they did. When you think about it, that's the basis of watching crime movies, right? Like all of us think we could get away with the crime. Oh, I wouldn't be that stupid if that's what I did. Oh, my friend wouldn't turn on me like they turn on. And like, don't we all think that with like a little bit of planning or if you had the right bit of maverick in you, you could do it. No, you couldn't. You're just going out here just randomly robbing Apple stores. I don't care how tight your crew is. You ain't just randomly doing it. The same way that I don't know if tomorrow you could just start a restaurant. Even though Bar Rescue makes it seem like it's really easy to do. They make it seem like, actually, maybe it's not really hard, like really easy to do, but it's really easy to mess it up. Because I sit there and I look at them and I'm like, it took me 30 seconds of watching the show to figure out why your restaurant is failing. I've never been in there before, but they just took the camera around and showed me. I can tell you I know when it's coming here to eat. You didn't need John to give you all this information. I would have gave it to you for free if you had come to me and asked for this information.
There's like five things that happen in all those episodes. And don't get me wrong, I love them. I love them all. One, they seem to never have a drink menu. That can't be that hard to have a drink menu. Hey, you got a drink menu? No, we don't. That can't be that hard to fix. Two, the kitchen staff's always just frying frozen foods. Have your own food. That seems easy. Three, the bartenders never understand how basic cocktails work. Hey, make me a margarita. Okay, first things first, vodka. How do you screw that
that's
up?
That's what I mean. How do you say that? Like, watching Bar Rescue makes it seem like you could run a really successful restaurant if you just clean and train people, right? That's what the show makes it seem like. If you just cleaned up consistently, because you are right, it'll be, hey, make an old-fashioned. How are you a bartender and don't know the three ingredients it takes to make an old-fashioned? That seems very straightforward and very common sense, where if I ran a bar, I would communicate that, and then we'd print money.
Or like the waitresses will get the order wrong. They'll walk by there and be like, yeah, I had two, I can't remember if it was beers or shots of vodka. Well, give them shots of vodka. And they walk out there and they're like, no, we had beers. And Taffer's like, they ordered wrong. Now they're giving stuff away. It can't be that hard. That and run a vacuum just once in a while.
Yeah,
run a vacuum.
Once in a while.
Spray down a table. Come on now.
Someone on here says, I run a restaurant. I don't understand how any of those people are allowed to work. They literally find the worst places in the world. I will say the ones in which they just have like bad interpersonal relationships, those aren't that good. I need the ones where it's like rats and roaches and they haven't cleaned up in like 7 years. Those are the one where John really turns up on them. Like, I don't want the compassionate story where John's kind of hold their hand. I want John to really come in and yell for the first 30 minutes and then like really tear them down. When you think about it, Bar Rescue is the same episode every single time. He tears you down for the first 30 minutes, and then he builds you back up in such an inspirational way the last 30 minutes to make me want to watch the show again. Coming up on the other side, I have a very simple question to ask you guys. Fill in the blank. Blank is not a player I trust at the end of the game, because there is one person that comes to mind when I think of that question. Blank is not a player I trust at the end of the game. I'll tell you why we're doing it. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Check out the new First National Bank of Omaha location. It's Sonoma Plaza in Lenexa. Get the text code at the new location to enter to win the ultimate backyard refresh. One winner will be selected at random to win a $1,000 gift card to Nebraska Furniture Mart for patio furniture plus a grill. And you'll also get $250 in a grocery store gift card for grilling supplies. You can enter now through Sunday, June 13th.
Can I talk now? Okay, making sure. I wasn't certain.
The National Cash Contest code word for 330 is STUNT, S-T-U-N-T, STUNT. Text that to 72881, and you could be the $1,000 winner of the National Cash Contest. STUNT, S-T-U-N-T, STUNT. Text the word STUNT to 72881. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL. So, 913-576-7610. I want you guys to fill in the blank for this. Blank is not a player that I trust at the end of the game. Blank is not a clutch player. Paul George makes me irrationally angry. I don't really know why Paul George makes me so angry. I don't care about the Clippers. I don't cheer for the Clippers. But it's something about giving yourself a nickname and then not living up to the nickname that really bothers me. So if you guys are unaware, Paul George, he plays for the Clippers. He calls himself Playoff P. He is a terrible postseason player. You can't call yourself Playoff P and then not hoop in the postseason. Like, you can't call yourself Mr. Big Game if you're Chauncey Billups and then be trash in the NBA Finals. Like, you got to really step up. If you're going to Babe Ruth call your own shot, you got to be able to cash it. You got to be able to go out there and perform at the highest level. I hate watching Paul George do anything in the postseason. I hate the way he dribbles. I hate the way he shoots. I hate his decision making. You remember last year, Rob, when it was in game 7 in the bubble and they were playing the Nuggets and he took that wide open three from the side of the court and he hit the side of the backboard. At that moment, I decided that I hate Paul George. There's only two current NBA players that I would say I hate: Kyle Kuzma and Paul George. Kyle Kuzma's never done anything to me. I just don't like him. But Paul George, the fact that he gave himself a nickname and then just can't even kind of live up to the nickname just absolutely infuriates me. So that's how I would fill in that question. Paul George is not a player that I trust. He's not a player that I think is clutch. He's not a player I want at the end of the game. Rob, who's that person for you? Who's the person you want nothing to do with heading into the fourth quarter, heading into the ninth inning, late in second half? You just don't want that guy anywhere around you.
So I got one that's in sports and one historically. The historical one, remember when Brad Lidge was the closer for the Astros? He was just awful. He was just he reclaimed his career in Philly, but in Houston, Albert Pujols put a ball on the moon against that man. He was bad. Current sports, keep Baker Mayfield away from the ball late. I know the Browns won't win when he has the ball. I know that for a fact. We're done. Like we saw against the Chiefs, he couldn't beat anything as possible. We saw it at Oklahoma. He couldn't beat Georgia. He had the ball late. So I'm starting to think it's Baker Mayfield in current sports and it's Brad Lidge all time.
I didn't know you were going the Baker Mayfield route. So we talk a lot about Cleveland. It sounds to me like you're almost in the same place that I am with Cleveland. Sure, they got a lot of talent, but your quarterback is always going to be your biggest limitation and hold you back. Like, your quarterback's not good enough to deliver on the talent on the rest of the roster. If we're talking 2 through 53, I think Cleveland's one of the five most talented teams in the NFL. It's just hard for me to put them in the category with those other teams because I trust those other teams' quarterback immensely more than I trust Baker Mayfield.
We're basically in the same page with Cleveland. I remember I was talking to Bink about this once. I think you were gone, and Bink was arguing for Cleveland, and I was arguing against him. I'm not all the way in the boat with you on Cleveland, though, because the way you feel about Cleveland is how I feel about Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's done, broken, kaput. There's nothing left there.
You think it's done? You think it's over for Big
Ben? Done, kaput. There's nothing left there.
You think he's broken?
Broken. He has to play a first-place schedule this year. Congrats on going 6-11 Pittsburgh. You draft running back in round one. You deserve to lose 11 games. So I'm mostly in the boat with you on Cleveland, but I just really hate Pittsburgh.
No, I understand. We all have the team that we hate irrationally, and we can't really explain it, and that team is Cleveland. I just don't like them this year. I don't like them the same way that everybody else is. Maybe I'll end up being wrong. I doubt it because my NFL predictions are pretty spot on. Like, you can take whatever I tell you about the NFL to the absolute bank. After week two, weeks one and two, I'm kind of getting my footing in the NFL. But after week two, nobody is more locked into the NFL than me. We don't know anything in weeks one and week two. We're all just randomly guessing. But once we get past the guessing stage, I'm spot on when it comes to the National Football League.
I mean, you nailed that Super Bowl pick, right?
I mean, I couldn't foresee that was going to happen. Who could foresee that? I had no clue that's what was going to happen. Absolutely no clue. So speaking of things that are potentially bad, now, sometimes I expect Rob to be on my side. Like sometimes the internet or people here in the office will team up on me. And I'm looking at Rob like, yo, why don't you have my back? Like, why are you teaming up on me? So there was a question earlier today that was posed. Is there a popular dessert that everybody loves that you find yourself hating or find gross? And I'm like, yeah, there's two obvious ones. Number one is peach cobbler. Peach cobbler is disgusting. Who wants hot peaches? Like, who has ever thought to themselves when you're eating a nice, delicious peach? It's not even that I hate peaches. I think peaches are tasty. But the way that they're all congealed in that goo, it looks like, you know, whenever they shoot aliens in a movie and then they just explode and just like all this mess, that's what it looks like keeps all the peaches together in peach cobbler. Sure, the crust is tasty, but nothing else about it is good. It's hot. It's slimy. I'm just not really fooling with it. Not really much of a peach cobbler person. The other one to me seems pretty obvious and everybody should feel this way. Pecan pie. I don't know any great person that loves pecan pie. You can't be your best version of yourself if you like pecan pie. You got to denounce pecan pie and maybe a couple other pies just because you like pecan pie in order to be a great person. Those are two popular desserts that I think are absolutely terrible that I think people would deem to be popular. There's a lot of desserts that I do love. I love banana pudding. I'm a big banana pudding person. I'm a big cheesecake person. Huge cheesecake person. I'm more of a vanilla cake, not a chocolate cake, but I do love yellow cake. Just don't drop it. That's why I got it in the special CIA napkin. But pecan pie and peach cobbler, trash. I don't want anything to do with it. Keep them away from me.
We're all on the same page here, pecan pie. It's terrible. No good. People put it out at Thanksgiving. Hard pass. I don't hate peach cobbler like you do. I don't love peach cobbler. Cherry cobbler is clearly better, but peach cobbler is fine. Here are the two correct answers for bad desserts. One, first and foremost, carrot cake. No thank you. Hard pass. Keep that away from me.
Carrot cake's tasty.
Carrot cake's not
now,
good.
Hold on really quick, though. I wouldn't consider carrot cake to be an elite dessert. But it's serviceable. That wouldn't be my first choice. Like, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to bring a dessert to the function, what would you bring? I might pick 13 things ahead of carrot cake. But if you brought a good carrot cake with that frosting on there just right, I'll absolutely eat your carrot cake.
I ain't your carrot cake. I'm also, under no circumstances, not under no circumstances, that's unfair. I'm one of the weird people. I go to a wedding. My friends get married. They're like, hey, there's cake available. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't need white cake with white frosting. It's boring, it's plain, it's flavorless. I don't want it. Wedding cake is a bad dessert that people love only because it's a fun function. It's actually not tasty.
How do you hate? It's just birthday cake.
Birthday
it's the
cake.
Same cake.
Birthday cake is usually like a cake someone likes, like chocolate cake or red velvet cake or
it's
yellow
just
cake.
It's vanilla cake.
It's
how do you
flavorless
hate?
And boring and over frosted. Wedding cake, trash.
Absolutely worst opinion. So the question was, is there a popular dessert that everybody loves that you find yourself hating or think is gross? Mine is peach cobbler and pecan pie. Rob's is, what does it matter what Rob's thinks? Because Rob's opinion is always wrong. Coming up in a little bit, is there a chance that Deshaun Watson could be a part of the Denver Broncos? We'll get into it next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Two desserts that were left off the board that would certainly fit this criteria. We're talking about this because there was a question thrown out there. Is there a popular dessert that everybody loves that you actually hate or find gross? No-bake cookies, Rob, were thrown out there. No-bake cookies are really bad. Like, I don't know what was wrong with the way that we were traditionally making cookies or the cookies that we have for someone to create a different subgenre of cookies that are just terrible. Also, lemon meringue pie might be high on that list too, Rob. Lemon meringue pie is bad. You've never had good lemon meringue pie. Not one single time. You've never gone over anybody's house and they've cooked it well. You've never been out and had a good lemon meringue pie. Lemon meringue pie might actually be the number one answer for worst dessert.
I can't get over no-bake cookies. Those are so bad.
No-bake cookies are real bad. Absolutely real bad. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about someone who I think has mastered the game of life. We'll do that coming up at the top of the hour. Someone who has definitely not mastered the game of life, Deshaun Watson. Here is one of his former teammates, Kareem Jackson. He thinks that Deshaun wants to play for the Broncos.
Yeah, I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man, and like all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like, come that's where me. I want to be. Like he like that's where I want to be. I'm like, man,
he see the setup, the line straight. He see the setup.
He like, man, listen, that's why I want to be in Denver. Like during the time while I was going through, you know, my little free agency thing and I end up signing back here, before I signed, he called and he was like, man, are you going to sign? I was like, I don't know. I ain't sure yet. He was like, well, you know, let me know what you're going to do, whatever, whatever. And I signed back. He's like, listen, man, tell him that I want to be in Denver.
Okay, a couple of things. That's from the Catch and Fades podcast with Aqib Talib. A couple of things. Number one, Deshaun Watson is not in any position to bargain anymore. That position was lost a long time ago. He is in absolutely no position to be telling other players in the NFL, hey, I really want to be there. Help me get traded over here. You got way bigger stuff to deal with off the field for me to give any kind of credence to your trade demands at this point. That was a thing maybe like in March. That's not a thing anymore in June. Rob, how do you think it makes Drew Lock feel that almost everybody that follows the NFL has virtually the same opinion? Now, I would say publicly, both Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson have communicated the same thing. Hey, we think their roster is actually really good. They're just really bad at quarterback, and we know we can come in and make this situation work. And we could talk about this, what this means for the Kansas City Chiefs, but can you imagine if you're Drew Lock and that's basically been this entire offseason? Like, your team has publicly flirted with every possible quarterback option, right? They flirted with every single one. Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz. The Broncos have been in the mix for basically every quarterback that's been out there, which is then odd to me why they didn't then draft a quarterback when they have the opportunity to, but that's neither here nor there. But at least according to Kareem Jackson, it's like, well, hey, Deshaun's like, get me to Denver. It'd be right. I don't think anyone really denies the talent of Denver 2 through 53. I don't think they're great like the rest of their roster, but I think the rest of their roster is clearly serviceable. I think they have a decent enough running game. I think they have strong weapons on the outside. I think their defense is fine. I think Denver has a lot of things in place that if you got good quarterback play could go right. How do you think it makes Drew Lock feel that it seems like once a week the Broncos are then rumored to get another quarterback and it's because nobody thinks that Drew Lock is good enough? Like, I would say at this point, if you're asking me not this upcoming season, so not the 21-22 season, but I'm talking next season, so 22 and 23, what are the chances that Drew Lock starts week one for the Denver Broncos? I put it at like 15%. I don't think he's a starting quarterback for that team next year. So it does make sense why the Broncos are so in when it comes to a lot of these veteran quarterbacks or why they're always in the middle of these rumors. But it's one thing for fans to put them in the middle of the rumor. It's one thing for a former player to say, hey, this quarterback wants to be traded there because he knows the roster's good. They're just really bad at quarterback.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm Drew Lock, what's worse. The former players and the current players being like, yeah, we'd love a quarterback. Or the GM with every action going out of his way to be like, man, we really need a quarterback. And it wasn't like the GM has had 5 years to evaluate Drew Lock and da da da, or it's a new GM and he's given Drew Lock no slack. He showed up and was immediately in the Matt Stafford sweepstakes. It was widely reported he was. Didn't get him. Then he was in the Sam Darnold sweepstakes. Widely reported. He didn't get him. Then he's been hinting at Aaron Rodgers or discussing Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, especially on draft night. Didn't get him. And then did make the trade for Teddy Bridgewater. Your new GM has given you exactly zero time to show out. He has gone out of his way to be like, no, you're not the answer. I don't know if that's worse or former teammates being like, yeah, Drew sucks.
This is a side note question that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I think has something to do with what we're talking about. Cleveland's probably the best team in the I like their roster but don't love their quarterback, right?
Yeah, they're probably the best of that group.
Like 2 through 53, we just talked about it. Very strong, but I have questions about their quarterback. Would you put San Francisco on that list? Because I actually wouldn't put San Francisco on their list. I like Jimmy Garoppolo when he's healthy and available. He just ain't never healthy and available. But if they get healthy Jimmy Garoppolo that played two seasons ago and they went to the Super Bowl, I think they make the playoffs this year. And I'd be surprised if they missed it. I think there's enough talent on that roster. I think Garoppolo's good enough. Now, I don't think I'd pick them to go back to the Super Bowl, but if we're talking about being a 10-11 win team and making the playoffs, I don't know if I'd put San Francisco on that list. Do you have San Francisco there?
I have San Francisco and Indianapolis on a separate list of teams that if their quarterback is healthy, I believe they're good and their roster's good, but when their quarterback's good, they're great. I put teams like the Browns and Broncos in different and the Vikings in a different category where I know who their quarterback's going to be and that's their hindrance. Where I think the Colts and Niners are in a separate category where if their quarterback's healthy, it's not a hindrance. The problem is I never know if that quarterback is healthy.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about somebody who I think has unlocked everything that you can unlock in the game of life and is now trying a new challenge. I'll explain what I mean next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.